Hey SEOs and content marketers, say goodbye to crazy spreadsheet mashups and experience unprecedented connectivity between your SEO planning and reporting data. Introducing Audience Key, technology for keyword mapping, content brief automation, and rank tracking that form an SEO strategy system providing unparalleled feedback loops between planning, reporting, and optimization activities. Put your time and energy into strategy, not data upkeep. Visit audiencekey.com and apply for a free trial today. We actually recorded this show live to podcast the day after our normal recording, so some of the stories may be a little bit more updated than normal. This is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media and BrandLabs.us and Christine Schackinger from Sites Without Walls.
Hey, everybody.
It's been a really busy week. We have a ton of stories. Before we jump in, really big thanks to Wix Studio and to Audience Key, our sponsors, and to all the folks at WMR who make this whole process work. And thanks to you all guys for listening. So Google update is still running. There's a spam update, the August 2025 spam update. It's been running since the 26th of August. Middle of September now. It should be coming to a close soon. They said it would take a few weeks to complete. And I think a few in Googleese is three or four. It's hard to tell. Not a lot. I still haven't heard a lot of change or a lot of impact from this update, Christine. Well, how about you?
I haven't. In fact, I saw somebody yesterday, and I can't remember who it was, say that they think it's even reverting some. So sounds like they're still playing with it. So I guess we'll see what happens when they finish, which should be soon, because we're definitely we're past the 2 week window. So
maybe, you know what, maybe it's just straightening out issues that were created by previous updates. Who knows? Maybe we'll wake up one day and the web will be completely resorted. Anything can happen, eh?
Anything can happen. I mean, there was the Florida update way, way back in the early days of search. But I doubt that's happening today.
Well, I mean, in these days, Google is being a lot more overt about what it's doing and why it's what an update is running and what it's running for. I mean, I think the only cryptic updates now are the ones that are just referred to as core updates. But even then, Google seems to try to give a hint at what it's targeting. Back in the days, though, when they were just naming updates after states or flowers or hummingbirds or whatever.
Or people. Panda.
We were never quite sure what Google was doing until the great deal of analysis that came after the update.
So, yeah, that's true. That's very true. But this is a spam update, so it's usually pretty obvious what you did wrong, and there's a very definite list to look at, unlike most updates.
Well, then that's exactly what I was saying. Previously, people, I wonder if this is a spam update or if
it's
a content update. I don't know. Maybe it was spammy content. True.
So I do miss cute names for the updates.
Well, we're still allowed to name them whatever we want, right?
Yeah, but no one does. We should. Should have a naming party every time they come out.
Well, I still want to name every core update the Danny Sullivan update. Just because he's the one who I think, and at least he announced the end of the unofficial naming system and the regimed naming system.
I really did, So
I want to call every core update the Danny Sullivan.
The Danny Spam.
Yeah. The Danny Spam. That's very specific there.
Danny Spam.
Very, very specific. Unlike Danny when he was search liaison. So sorry, Danny. All apologies. Please forgive me. Okay, moving along. There is still a GoFundMe out there for Alan Bleiweiss. It hasn't reached its goal. It's come close. A few hundred dollars here and there. If you've got, please give. This is to go towards, you know, making up the expenses for the end-of-life planning for Alan Bleiweiss. And anything that goes over the goal of $9,000 is going to be donated towards, I think, buying school supplies for teachers through the Make-A-Wish Foundation. GoFundMe.com/F/Alan-Bleiweiss, BLEIWEISS. Jump in there. Give the fellow a last send off.
Yeah, exactly. And we're pretty close, so we don't need a whole lot more, but every donation is helpful for sure, even if it's $5.
Okay, AI mode has grown up, and well, it went to language school, and it now works in Hindi, in Indonesian languages, in Japanese, in Korean, in Brazilian Portuguese. Gula AI mode is now supporting new languages beyond English, and Google expanded to 180 countries or territories, most countries around the world, just a few weeks ago.
Yeah, but
So
in
now,
English only in those countries.
yep, in English only. So now they're again opening up to new languages, and I suppose that they will develop AI mode in more and more languages as they go along.
I do find it interesting Brazilian Portuguese, like which languages they chose, because you think it would be something that had to have an incredible amount of content written in that language and
Well, think about the distribution of Portuguese speakers. Portugal was an exploration country back in the
Sure.
15th, 16th, 17th centuries, and Brazil is now massive. I mean, this is one of the biggest nations on earth, population-wise, and it's predominantly Portuguese speaking. But much like Quebecois is a dialect of French, Brazilian Portuguese is a dialect of Portuguese.
Yeah, very true. I was just surprised that, like,
But
there's not.
it's the
No.
largest language grouping of Portuguese.
Yeah, that's very true.
I think that's actually, I mean, again, Brazil has an internet culture that I think a lot of people in North America disregard, but it's massive and it's very distinct. It has really unique qualities. Remember Google's social network, Orkut?
Oh, yeah.
This is before my goodness, I can't even remember Google's old. I can't remember Google's most recent social network. But anyway, Orkut failed everywhere else except Brazil. It was insanely popular in Brazil.
Yeah, I'm just surprised just because the top five languages are English, Mandarin, Hindi, Spanish, and French. That doesn't include those languages too, in addition to Brazilian Portuguese.
Well, I what well, you know what you don't see on this list? You don't see Mandarin and you don't see Cantonese.
Mandarin is the second most spoken language in the world. Hindi's on here, which is 609 million speakers. But Spanish and French are the next largest languages spoken. They're not on the list here. So it's just interesting. I'd love to be privy to how they choose languages for AI mode. There's got to be something technical to it.
Oh, I'm going to guess by distribution of internet populations that click on ad I mean that
Probably.
use Google products.
Probably.
Yeah. And click on AdWords frequently. That's definitely probably
Yeah.
part of the
That
thinking
probably definitely
process.
plays into it for sure.
Okay, so there's going to be a release of the Google Ads API. In fact, there's going to be API releases monthly in 2026. There's going to be, oh my goodness, wow, there's going to be three or four updates or API releases. Version 19 is going to sunset February 2026. Version 20 will sunset June 2026. Version 21 will sunset August 2026. And version 22 will sunset October 2026, suggesting, of course, that subsequent versions will be coming along after them. That is a massive upgrade cycle. What's going on?
I don't know because I don't use this API, but apparently they do have a calendar on Search Engine Roundtable, and it's under Google Ads. The article is Google Ads API releases monthly in 2026, but they have major and minor releases scheduled 23, version 24, 25, and 26 will be released over the next year. And as you said, it'll be released every month as opposed to 3 to 4 times a year. So people have been asking them for this for a long time, and so now they are doing it. So you'll have faster access for more features to the API. Major API versions will be live for 1 year after launch, and minor versions will be non-breaking additive changes to provide extra benefit to team integrations. So that's about all I know, just because I don't do ads. So I can't talk in depth on this, but I can tell you that if you do ads, you'll probably be very, very happy that you're getting a new update every month.
Let's just hope that, I mean, seriously, imagine if it's a brand new system you got to learn every month. No, I imagine it won't be.
No, but they will do major changes 4 times a year like they have. They're just adding the minor changes in between. There'll be two
Well,
every quarter.
Google, for goodness sake, please don't make the major process changes. It's hard enough to deal with, figuring out how to do our jobs every day we come in, much less figuring out how to do new processes in our jobs every
Oh,
day.
and gosh, ads has been undergoing so many changes in the last 2 years, like constantly. And
You
yeah,
think maybe they're adding AI to it or something?
I've done a lot of that. Yeah, I'm very happy, unhappy responses from people I know who do that work because it says it costs them more money. But I don't know. It's just a lot of changes in ads. I think because they continually have been changing search, and they continually have to make more money in ads to meet their shareholders' expectations. So you can't do that if you just leave it the same if you're changing everything else. That'd be my guess.
Major acquisition action happening in the industry. Ahrefs has acquired detail.com and their SEO extension. Their founder has joined the company, Greg Alsop. He's going to be working with Ahrefs full time on their marketing strategy, research, and on product. The detailed SEO extension is used by auditors to really quickly get a sense of title tags, headings, just the SEO
Yeah.
basics, bringing it all up in a single panel.
One of the nice things too, I use it. It's in my list of extensions, which is probably about 30. But one of the nice things is you can see the H headers. See how many they have of each kind, if they're missing any, just from the page look from the extension. So if you're trying to analyze things at a page level and you don't have the ease of that sometimes in your crawler tools. So it's nice. It tells you the word count and the canonical language tag if it's there. Links to the page, images on the page, schema on the page. So it's all sorts of good information about a single page. And then, of course, they have their other tools as detailed.com, but I do really love the extension.
So Ahrefs is saying that the current tools are going to remain free. Pretty sure that they'll leave the extension running because it's a hell of a way to get people over to Ahrefs.
Yeah, they're supposed to leave it running, and all of it's supposed to still be free. So.
But that's pretty cool. Congratulations, Detailed, and congratulations, Ahrefs.
Yeah, it's a good partnership. HRS has just been growing and growing for the last about 3 years now.
Well, I think anyone who publishes a really strong, solid set of tools for audits, for crawlability, for able to check out content and stuff, and Ahrefs is like one of those Swiss Army knives of SEO tools. You can't help but succeed in this at this time of the industry, eh?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. This is a really sensitive and difficult story. I'm not touching it with a 10-foot pole because I swear a lot when I talk about it. On September 10th, a Charlie Kirk, American political far right American political commentator, Charlie Kirk was shot at campus in Utah at a live speech he made. And we wouldn't cover this story except that within seconds, within minutes of the shooting, which was captured live and we broadcast ad infinitum across the web and across social networks, the Grok AI chatbot, which is completely integrated into the X platform, a Twixter, Twitter, as its fact-checking tool, just came out with numerous ludicrous and over-the-top false sayings about the murder. What happened with this, Christine?
Yeah, I'm gonna do a quick disclaimer. I do not support using a bullet to end political as a response to political discourse, even if it's hateful, as Charlie Kirk's often was. And I do think that's a thing for karma to take care of, so I do not support that in any way. But just want to make that clear before we talk. So Hugh, during this is just another example. We can just come from this angle. It's another example of why you don't use these LLMs for search engines, especially in immediate events. So people are going to Grok to ask it if he could have survived the wound that he got. By the way, if these videos come across your way, do not watch the close-up video of the shooting. It is horrific. And the bot replied with things like, Charlie Kirk takes the roast in stride with a laugh. He's faced tougher crowds. Yes, he survives this one easily. It also said it was just a meme with edited effects. It was hallucinations, they said, that it was false information. So a lot of people, millions of people, were looking for information about the shooting using Grok, getting these kind of very bizarre answers. And the reason it gives these bizarre answers is it doesn't have any information on it. It is not a search engine. It does use articles to ground what the response is, but because this was an immediate incident, there was nothing to ground the response yet. Not enough information out there for Grok or any LLM to have information about it. So that's why I wrote these bizarre statements. So the most common response was about it being him being roasted. I don't even know where that came from, and how he could take a roast in stride. So just be careful when you use these things. This is a more general statement about large language models, and especially in immediate situations. If you've got something going on in your area, a fire, a storm, a hurricanes coming, and do not use large language models to search for information. Use search engines, or or go to the sites that you need to go to, but do not use it for that, because that's why this put out these like very bizarre statements on the shooting. So.
Moreover, I'm trying to as you were explaining the story, Christine, I'm trying to figure out where Grok is probably getting its information from, and it occurs to me it's getting it from X.
Yeah, it's getting it from X, but it's not grounding it in a story. So it usually goes on X and it grounds it from published articles, but this was too quick after it happened to have
Well,
any
yeah,
information in public articles.
nobody knew
Yeah,
anything.
exactly. So it's just doing what predictive text does, and it just writes stuff. It didn't have anything to ground it in, and that's why it did this. That's why back like when Google first released its large language model and didn't ground it, it said things like, drink a gallon of your own urine to get rid of kidney stones and glue your cheese to your pizza to keep it from sliding off. That's because it didn't have grounding. And this is the same. If it's an instant, if it's something that's happening in the immediate time frame, there is nothing for it to ground to. So it'll say things like, he survives this one easily, and he takes the roast in stride with a laugh. I mean, it's just predictive text writing what it's trained on in the most logical order of those words being put together in a sentence. So
Yeah, I guess, and Grok concluded, it's likely a meme referencing political figures, but major news outlets like Fox, CNN, and the New York Times show no such event because, in Grok's frame of reference, they wouldn't have.
exactly. The events were not there in the type of data that it is looking at, which is not the news releases, but the actual articles on websites. So,
It did add, though, if new news emerges, it will update.
yes. And if,
I'm sure it's more accurate today.
yeah,
But
it would
like
be,
you
it would be.
said, in an emergent situation, if you got like a tornado or a hurricane bearing down on your community, don't trust the LLM to give you accurate information. It probably doesn't know either.
No, it doesn't. And even the information it could give you could be just wrong in general, but definitely not on anything that's in the urgent real time. So, yeah.
Google, moving along. Google is now showing AI mode in autocomplete. So, as you're typing your search query into the Google text box, often a drop down comes and gives you suggestions to autocomplete your search. Now it's giving you suggestions with AI mode stuck beside it. Here's a suggestion. Here's what AI mode will tell you all about it. And taking into the AI mode environment.
Yeah, so your auto suggest isn't related to the AI mode. It's just that you can click on AI mode from the search box. Yeah, your auto suggest will be the same as it has been. So I know no one thinks the same way I do in this. I'm the outlier here, but I think they're putting it in all these places because people aren't using it the way they thought they would. But I could be totally wrong.
Well, no, I don't think you're totally wrong. I don't think that people are using AI mode exactly as Google thought they would, because people never do. But people are showing Google how they want to use AI mode, and I think Google's going to start responding to that. Google
But
pays
as
a
we,
huge amount of attention to what its users do, and
yeah.
then tries to change itself to meet that.
Yeah, they definitely have the data. I just think that we know that people, the more they use it, the less they love it. So it's just possible that people just aren't upticking like they thought they would, but I could be wrong. There's very, but the growth in the AI market we know from our previous stories is much lower than they thought it would be overall.
See, I'm actually kind of the other way around. The more I, how to say it, the more I use AI mode in and other AI tools in ways I know they've been successful for me, the happier I am using them. There are a bunch of things I won't use them for, or I've, not seen success using them, so I'm not willing to.
Which,
But in some cases, you know what I mean? Like, and I think Google is watching people make choices like this. I think the users are a lot smarter, when it comes to their own needs than the engineers are. The engineers are great
yeah.
generalists, but
Yeah. So,
individually, people know exactly what how they want to use things.
yeah, so actually, just plays into what I said because when you first use it for everything. And over time, you find that it doesn't work for this or it doesn't work for that, but it does work for this. So you narrow down your use and focus. So you would use it less frequently in less spaces. So what you're saying really kind of just plays along to that. So I do think that they are probably putting it everywhere because they're not finding the uptick from just having AI mode was what they thought it would be. They have to put in different spaces for different probably user types where people might use it and where people might not. So that takes us into. There was a big, like, back and forth this week on social media and different spaces in the SEO world because apparently someone at Google, who was it, Logan Kilpatrick, product manager for Google DeepMind and Gemini, said that, and all AI products said Google AI mode will be the default for Google search soon. By the way, if Google AI mode, which is wrong a lot, is ever default mode and I can't get to regular links, I'm out. But that's just me. But apparently, Robbie Stein, the VP product at Google Search, said he wouldn't. He told people not to read too much into this. He said it can be. He's saying it's like going to be present, but not that it's going to replace regular search, which would make sense because you can't put the ads into an AI mode that you can put into a search page, if
No,
for no other reason.
I don't think Google has figured out how they want to use AI mode yet entirely either. And I think Google understands what you're exactly what you're saying, Christine. You lose the 10 blue links, you lose the space to not only the space to put advertising, but you lose a whole bunch of the what's the it's an invisible thing. It's a credibility feeling that people have about it.
Yeah,
I'm trying to say,
exactly.
like, people do grounding on the people do their own grounding on the output of AI mode or AI overviews using the 10 blue links. And if you get rid of them, you take that tool away from the users, I think people will be very uncomfortable. For instance, I got a new client a couple of weeks ago, a medical field client, based in Toronto, and the head of the group that I'm working with will only use DuckDuckGo, refuses to use Google now.
Okay, makes
And
sense.
it comes down to access to those 10 blue links.
Yeah. Yeah, it
He
does because DuckDuckGo does not have AI overviews. That's
Nope,
probably
and
why
he
they didn't use.
trusts the DuckDuckGo results more than Google. I haven't done an efficacy study or anything, and someday him and I will have drinks and figure that out and do that for fun. But it's a vibe feeling, and this is an incredibly well-educated person. This is a vibe feeling for him. And that's the environment. How to say this? That's the environment Google has to create for its users, and if it can't do that, its users ain't going to be there.
Yeah, exactly. And I think we're going to talk a little bit more about this later, but that people still trust the 10 blue links. Oh, I will say they 10 blue links and where and I could be in a test, but they have been degraded. They've been deteriorating in accuracy. Like they're not matching the query for the most part on a lot of searches that I do. And I think that's intentional to make AI the more preferred choice because we know he's done Sundar has done that before at Google. But still, I still prefer the Tembo links. Even if I do read in AI mode, I almost never use AI mode, and I sometimes use AI overviews, but mostly for something I already know, and I'm just trying to screenshot it for somebody, a summary. But I will click into the actual sources because there's not enough information in the overview for what I need to do. But I still prefer the links below. I'd rather have accurate ones there than I care about AI overviews. I may be different. I know I'm often the outlier in these situations.
So I'm sitting here trying to figure a segue into the next story. Sorry about that. So there's like penalties and there's penalties, and then there's whatever the heck happened in the American case last week. But this week, the European Commission, which also had Google up on antitrust and monopoly charges and a competitive ad behavior. Well, they fined Google 2.95 billion euros, which roughly translates to like 3.5 billion American dollars, for its anti-competitive, anti-ad tech business practices. Google favored its own display advertising technologies and pretty much shut out other display ad companies, and it was a pattern of behavior for decades. They got burned for it. S similar thing happened in America. They got a slap on the wrist. They were told that they had to share information with their competitors. In Europe, they got to pay a 3.5 bill.
Yeah, and more than that, they may be forced to divest its ad tech business.
I honestly, well, maybe they may be forced to do that, but given the decision in American courts, and again, the obvious, how to say it, like I can't see Google having to. We had this conversation before about whether Google was going to have to give up Chrome or another part of its business. The whole system will crack if it does.
Yeah, I agree, but we also know the EU doesn't often care about that. Like they have fined way more heavily than the US often.
Well,
So
the
I
other
don't I
thing
yeah,
that I think will stay the EU's hand is the presence of a very angry American president.
Oh, that's possible. Yeah, definitely possible because he has stepped in and threatened to launch a trade investigation to nullify these penalties from the EU, though I don't know how much
Well,
weight that would have, but
basically, he's threatening them with more tariffs. I mean, that's Trump's
yeah.
great tool. We're going to hit you
And
with more tariffs.
just a reminder that tariffs are a tax on the American people, not paid for by the EU, but it does make their products less competitive
Less
because
just,
if they have people have to
yeah.
spend more on them.
Then it makes the products less desirable to the American consumer, which is, a really big fat wallet that the rest of the world loves to sell to. Now, for what it's worth, we wouldn't be able to sell to the American wallet if the American wallet didn't want to buy our stuff. Really, because even Americans don't buy stuff that they don't want to buy, do they?
It's impulse buys. Yeah, possibly. You get home and you're like, why did I buy this? Because the store was set up to make you want to purchase it.
And
But yeah, no, I mean,
for people wondering, this is why we love the American market. Like, honest to
yeah,
goodness.
that's true. I mean, in Canada, I have a question for you. In Canada, when you get to the checkout line, is it filled with candies and products and mints and gums and like aspirin, all that sort of stuff on as you're checking out?
Well, certainly that's stuff you might just sort of need.
Okay, because we have the impulse buy area, which is like they're all the checkouts in front are lined with stuff, and then as you walk through the checkout, it's all lined with stuff to
Oh, you see, but
purchase.
see, in the rest of the world, we imagine that where we have bags of crisps or chips and chocolate bars and all that sort of stuff, we imagine that you guys have TVs, cowboy hats, and guns.
No, I don't live in that kind of state. But no,
Okay.
mine's
Oh,
chocolate
you guys
bars
just
and
have slot machines.
we do have slot machines in most grocery stores. This is true. And the gas station. I live in Las Vegas. It is the weirdest thing when you first move here and then you just become blind to it. You're like, what? Oh yeah, they're there. I've never played one, so but yeah, anyway, I just was curious if it was the same as here. It is the same pretty much, but so
So, okay, moving along, because actually we got
Yeah.
a show to do here, Christine.
We
Okay,
do.
Apple's getting into the AI game. Apple's actually been in the AI game for quite a while. It's been in the search game for quite a while too. It just hasn't been doing so publicly. But it's we working Siri.
Yeah, they have a new search system coming out called World Knowledge Answers, which is kind of awkward, but that's what they're going to call
That's a
it.
winning name there. I mean,
Yeah.
Microsoft went too small with Bing, so maybe you should come up with a really long name.
Yeah,
Good
don't let
thinking there.
engineers name your products, people.
Freaking
World
think
Knowledge Answers.
different, Apple. Think different.
It's World Knowledge Answers. It's going to be like NoQ or something. I don't know. It will be able to look up information from across the internet and provide an AI-powered summarization system to make results more quickly digestible and accurate, according to Bloomberg. And this is reported in Search Engine Roundtable by Barry Schwartz. So the report says the technology is called Linwood, an LLM Siri. It lays the groundwork for the AI search feature. I don't know why Linwood. It doesn't explain why they call it Linwood. I don't know what that
No,
means
because
personally.
that's just their code name. They come up with,
Yeah, exactly.
Google
So
uses animal names. These guys come up with Linwood.
interesting enough, though, Apple's working with Google to evaluate and test the Google-developed AI model to help power the voice assistant. Oh, you're not going to like that because I have a voice assistant keyboard and it's terrible. But anyway, the new search experience will introduce an interface that makes use of text, photos, multimodal text and photos, videos, and local points of interest. So basically, they're taking what Google's doing, having Google help them test, and then calling it World Knowledge Answers. Sounds like it. I don't know where they're displaying it, though. It doesn't actually report where that will be displayed, but it will be part of Siri.
Okay, well, I mean, this is the neat thing. They don't need to display a search engine anywhere anymore. Search is a Siri's voice activated. You just got to talk to your watch.
Yeah, I agree. I just don't know. You still need links to things, though, so I don't know how they're doing that. That's all. But they're going to summarize mostly, so they might not need the links.
Well, again, it's how to say it. It's going to be an AI search feature, so. Imagine AI overviews being read to you. To go to the
Yes, that's
site,
what it'll be. That's what it'll be.
have you ever used a screen reader for deaf people? Oh, I'm sorry, for people
Ah,
with visual
yes,
impairments?
I do. Accessibility is part of my
So
services. Yeah.
I got a feeling there'll be a little bit of that when it comes to e-commerce links. Would you like to buy? Say yes.
Yeah, possibly for sure. So, but it is interesting that they're working with Google. I'm sure that's probably just a free service that Google's offering, or maybe a $50 million one to replace not being able to pay to be the top of their search engines.
Oh, no, Google's still allowed to pay. They're just not allowed to get a benefit for paying
Exactly.
or something like that. I don't know what
They,
it is,
yeah,
maybe.
exactly. I just think, yeah. So they found a way to replace the money. So that's good for Apple, though, because they did file to stop the lawsuit for that
Poor Apple. It might have lost a whole bunch of money.
reason.
Okay. If you be vibe coding, and you're using the Cursor AI code editor, you
Yes.
might be getting bad vibes in your coding. I really, really think this is a great phrase. Christine came up with it as we were talking about the story before the show, invisible prompt injecting.
Oh, it's not my phrase. It is an industry phrase, but I appreciate the credit
Well,
there.
I think that is one of the most descriptive. I think that should be a descriptive way to envision how invisible lines of prompt code really
Yeah.
can trigger AIs to do all sorts of stuff, really. So,
Yeah. Yeah. So the biggest thing with anything with AI, we've talked about the OpenAI connectors or using other products that is this invisible injection, prompt injection, which just means there's a way someone has been able to access your system with code. Or word, I'm sorry, not code, but words to create actions inside the LLM, which can create code. We talked about the one that creates a different attack every time it gets into a system by the vibe coding, right? So there's a new security weakness. A lot of people use Cursor, especially in the SEO industries. That's why we're talking about this story today. But Cursor can trigger code execution when a maliciously crafted repository is opened using the program, which just means if you're pulling something, let's say from GitHub or something else, it can actually use part of what you're pulling in to just say words, and the words tell the machine to do things, and that doing things can be malicious code. So Cursor ships with a workspace trust disabled by default and VS Code style task configured with run on options, all these other things. Basically, it's supposed to be able to stop it, but it doesn't. But you can stop it, and we can't get into all the things today. Just know if you're using Cursor, what you need to do is you need to go to the Hacker News, that's the site, look up Cursor AI Code Editor flaw, enable silent code execution by malicious repositories, and most of those words you'll get it anyway. But it talks about Cursor and then other things in Claude and IDE extensions that you need to update and all these different interventions that you need to make, which to our audience right now would be talking gibberish. So just go there to find the solution to this. But be careful when you're using anything that is large language model based, because these invisible prompt injections can be delivered in so many different manners without you ever clicking on anything or seeing anything. All it does is when you hook it, like the OpenAI connectors, when you hook it into like your Google Drive, or in this case, when you bring in the GitHub repository, it just launches the prompt, and then the prompt gets the large language model to do these things. So if you're using Cursor, make sure you go and shore up your system to make sure that it can't operate this way. That's it.
Okay. FTC is launching inquiry into AI chatbot companions from Meta, OpenAI, and hopefully others, because they're all over the place.
Yeah, Meta, OpenAI, Snap, and xAI. Those are the ones that it's looking at currently. And
Okay,
Character
well,
AI.
these are the ones that are mentioned publicly. Hope again, hopefully, because I mean, there's I have no idea. After we reported on the story last week, I went, there's thousands of these things out there,
Oh my
and
gosh, yeah.
how to say this? I'm okay with people having imaginary friends. I was a big fan of Snuffleupagus when I was a kid.
I love stuff, I love it.
But the web is an incredibly isolating environment, and I'm really concerned about this is how you get more incels. This is how you get more people who don't know how to communicate with live humans. And this is how you like get very, very, very confused young people. So many of these chatbots are made to be sexual by nature because that's why adults are using them. They're getting
Or
like, fun
essential.
companionship.
Yeah.
Very sensuous, sensual or downright erotic. But children have access to them, young people, teenagers. And I'm not sure. I mean, honest to goodness, with the internet, I'm not sure many adults can tell the difference between fantasy and reality, but I know for a fact that many young people can't. They
Yeah,
just don't have
so
the life experience to determine which is which.
and
This
as
is
we know, oh, go ahead, I'm sorry, Jim. Go
but
ahead.
it's just terrifying how asocialized people can become because of easy access to tools like this.
Yeah, and the thing is that we reported on a bunch of stories in the last few weeks that are just awful. It's like, but the thing is, these companies are doing it with knowledge. We know Meta like targeted 13 to 18 year olds with sensual romantic chats with its AI bots. We know people have committed suicide, especially a teenager who was encouraged by the chatbot to commit suicide. We know people have had psychosis, children and adults, because we know that it releases the, this is the first theory anyway about it, oxytocin instead of dopamine, the love drug in your body. So it makes people feel emotionally connected to
Well,
the
they
AI,
are,
even though,
but again, they are forming a relationship. They
yeah,
really
and
are. They
their
so.
bodies are reacting like it's a real relationship, and that's where the psychosis they think is coming from. So because these are people often that have no history of mental health problems. So it is time. This is mostly related to, teenagers or children being targeted, because we know that Meta targeted them directly multiple times. We know that OpenAI has done that. Character AI specifically has children related. We also know Meta had children like bots that talk to adults about sex. I mean, it's just awful. But they are starting to look at regulation. So I didn't think we'd see much regulation in the current environment that we're in, but I am glad to see that they are going to look at this because there does need to be regulation. And we know from the Meta issues, these were all cleared by their lawyers. Talking to 13 to 18 year olds in romantic, consensual ways was cleared by their lawyers. A 76-year-old man with who was cognitively impaired wound up dying because he went to meet a fake woman in a city, and the fake bot kept telling it was real. So there need to be regulations around this, and there need to be mitigations so that these things don't happen. He didn't die from the bot itself. He died because when he went to the city, he had a horrific accident. But he did think he was meeting a live person. And these bots are meant to be companions. They're not, this isn't like a side effect of the LLM or an issue of the LLM. This is the intention of these. So I
Now,
definitely
here's
think
the
when you're
thing. I really hope that they can find a way to regulate these things without banning them, because I can actually see great value in these things if used certain ways, and great dangers if used in other ways.
Yeah, one of the guardrails they can set up is things like sentiment analysis. So if they detect, didn't detect that the bot is going into territory that could be problematic, they can stop the conversation. So there are things they can do. They just haven't done it because they need people to want to use these toys,
Well, and
companions as toys,
also,
and
and one of the, who's to say what is and isn't problematic?
well, I think sensual romantic talks to 13-year-olds is traumatic.
Well,
But
indeed,
there are,
but
yeah.
if you, if the first thing that'll happen is you ban it for the 13-year-old, the 13-year-old will pretend to be 18 or 21 or
Well,
whatever,
yeah.
because that's what they've always done.
Yeah, they do in OpenAI make you tie it to an adult account, but that doesn't mean the child couldn't create one. You have to do that at home on your own computers. But anyway, it is time at least they look into regulating it. So I think we'll see.
Incidentally, I can absolutely see them looking into regulating under this under the Trump regime. I just can't them seeing. I just can't see them doing anything about what they looked into.
Yeah,
But sure, they'll send it to committee. They'll be happy to do that.
they'll sit there for a decade.
There you go. Okay, so OpenAI is valued at over $300 billion, and that's a heck of a lot of money. It will be valued at over a half a trillion in a few years from now. That's almost inevitable. It is currently a subsidiary of a nonprofit parent company. Now, that's how it was set up, when it was introduced in 2015. It's had a bunch of investors since then, and they don't like it being owned as a subsidiary of a nonprofit parent company. In fact, they want OpenAI to be a for-profit company, likely so they could do some profit taking from it.
Yeah, also for scalability and other things, it has to do go that way. If it doesn't go that way, they don't see that it'll be able to go in the direction that they're hoping to take OpenAI.
At the same time, California and corporate law in general is set up in such a way, and nonprofit law is pretty exacting to protect funds that are, put into nonprofits for charitable or for public good usage. And there's a number of massive NGOs, nonprofit organizations, some of the most powerful in the state. In both states of California and Delaware, are setting up to try to stop OpenAI's restructuring efforts, because it would basically smash the law that governs them as nonprofit corporations. And now it's a legal conundrum.
Yeah, and if they don't reconstitute into a for-profit, it could mean their scaling approach to AI development that's costing billions of dollars would have to be abandoned. If it has to be abandoned, it might basically end the future of OpenAI as the company it is trying to be. So.
So to move on, OpenAI has to reconstitute itself. But to reconstitute itself, it has to destroy the corporate law that
Yeah,
protects the status of many nonprofits.
And also, they did say they might just move to another state and see if they can get it through there. But right now, California is looking like it's a difficult road for them.
That's really too bad, and this has nothing to do with California's tax rates or California's environment whatsoever. It's simply tax law, or I'm sorry, it's simply corporate law.
Yeah, and also going from nonprofit to a for-profit is a difficult
Well,
process. And
same law in Delaware, by the
anyway,
way. And Delaware is one of the most corporate-friendly states.
yeah, it
And
is.
they have the same problem in that state. So I don't know if moving states is really going to help so much. We'll see. Okay, so Meta is up in front of congressional hearings over behavior that's happened in the VR environment.
Yeah.
Listeners might remember that Meta is trying to create the metaverse, the largest VR environment in the world, and it's not going so well for them, but there's a huge number of adopters anyway, and some funky stuff goes down in the VR world.
Yeah, and apparently, once again, Meta is saying to children's safety, big middle finger. Meta is aware that children are being harmed in VR. This is from NBC News. Savage testified at the hearing, and it's not uncommon for children in VR to experience bullying, sexual assault, to be solicited for nude photographs, and sexual acts by pedophiles, be regularly exposed to mature content like gambling and violence, and to participate in adult experiences like strip clubs and watching pornography with strangers. Oh my gosh. I
Well,
didn't read that
remember,
part before we came on
you can
air.
be in the metaverse, right? And be filming the
Yeah.
real world and bring the real world into the metaverse.
Yeah, it's just that they're not, Meta has totally abandoned child safety. And the stuff we're talking about isn't like back when you and I were growing up, like, let's put ratings on records. This is stuff where children are actively being harmed in these environments, which parents probably are not aware that you could go to watch porn with an adult on a VR headset with people in the metaverse. Like,
Well,
I
I
am
mean,
sure most
thinking
parents
about
are
it, of
not
course you
aware.
can, but
Yes.
yeah, now that you think
Yeah.
about it, but you have to think
Yeah.
about it. I
But
mean, and why would you think that? Why
yeah,
would you?
why would
Why
a
would it?
parent?
Why would it even occur to you that could happen?
Yeah,
What are
why
you,
would a
sick?
parent like give them a headset for VR thinking they're going to be doing video games and some exercise and think that they're going to come and find out their child watched porn with a
Well,
pedophile in
welcome
turn?
to the 21st century, eh?
Yeah, but you know, corporations have a responsibility for this stuff, and it's sad that it always has to go to Congress or the courts right now with Meta because Meta has abandoned what it looks like as child safety. I'd be very careful of letting any child use any of the Meta or the large language model products, the AI companions of the other group that's also not paying any attention. But this is like the fourth story we have on Meta in like 3 weeks where they totally abandoned child safety.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just a very, very quick note, just to drop in on this one. 6 months ago, Anthropic CEO Dario Amodei said quite confidently that AI would be writing 90% of code within half a year. That was half a year ago.
Yes, that was this week. It's 6 months now.
And vibe coding, well, being very popular has not taken off, and AI is not writing 90% of the code in the world. So,
And
didn't happen.
also, there's a little more to it. They've also found in the research, we've covered this before, but just to mention it again, that it's causing engineers to be slower and increase their workload, not faster, because they have to fix the mistakes.
Well, yeah, but and if you know that the product is prone to mistake, that means you got to double check it. If you write
Yeah.
it yourself, well, you know what, you still got to double check it, but at least you know the code.
Exactly.
Faster.
So, yeah.
AI brands are trying to back a new licensing standard to charge for AI training data. It's called Real Simple Licensing, or RSL, and the idea is to give web publishers a tool to set terms on how AI systems are going to use the content. Reddit, Yahoo, Medium, Quora, they're all in support of the new licensing standard. But I'm not so sure that the large language models are going to be so into it. But again, we've Reddit, Quora, Yahoo, Medium, Adweek, Fastly, Internet Brands, the MIT Press, O'Reilly, People Inc., WikiHow and Ziff Davis are the major brands that have signed on. They see it as a scalable business model for the web, modeled after rights groups like the ASCAP, the American Society. Actually, I'm not sure what ASCAP stands for entirely as an
It's for
acronym.
music. It's
They're the
music.
ones who gather the licensing rights when you play music in your restaurant, cafe, or radio station.
It's really not that different from what Cloudflare is doing. It's just a little more broad. So the bots can be charged pay per crawl, pay per inference fees, compensation when an AI uses their content and responses, or subscription rate. Cloudflare is doing it where if you crawl, they charge you this. We don't know what how much this, we're assuming it's fairly nominal. But bots for non-training purposes, RSL, I'm tripping over my tongue today. RSL relies on AI companies' cooperation. Without buy-in, enforcement will be a challenge, as you just mentioned. But it's a concept. I don't know if it'll work, but at least they have most of the major publishers are on board with it. So.
Well, there's what we understand is Fastly's work is working to build the gatekeeper tech with RSL that will admit or block bots based on if they comply with licensing or not. But there's gatekeeping and there's gatekeeping. So a robot text is like, please don't come here. Please don't index. Please don't follow links off this page. But please follow my directive. IP blocking, on the other hand, is gatekeeping. You're not coming here. Why? Because we don't like you. That's why.
You didn't pay. We have our rules, and you did not pay, or you did not subscribe, or you did not, whichever.
So it ain't what they're doing, it's the way that they're doing it. If you're going to be gatekeeping, a robot's text file isn't going to stop any crawler that
No,
doesn't want to listen to it.
we already know they ignore it, and they even invent new IP addresses to get around it, so.
So we'll see what happens. I mean, something has to break to make content creation worth doing beyond the will, the want to spread information. Something has to it's something has to pay content creators, or you're just gonna have AI content out there.
Yeah, pretty much. So it's important. We just have to find a solution.
Okay, this is insanely cool. Alibaba has released an AI speech transcription tool called Quan 3. It's a AI transcription model for the Chinese languages, and Quan's error rate is less than 4%, 3.97%. Which is demonstrably lower than Google's Gemini or GPT 4.0's, at almost 10% and 15% respectively. I think this is incredibly cool. The neighborhood I live in North Toronto is predominantly Chinese, and I'm working with a new medical group that needs to be able to communicate in multiple languages.
Yeah, and it does
Great.
handle British American, and regional accents. It also supports languages of French, German, Spanish, Italian, Portuguese, Russian, Japanese, and Korean, and Arabic. I think that would be really great also for SEOs because they're often looking for tools to like transcribe videos or transcribe other information. And if it has only a 3% error rate, I'm sure a human being isn't probably much more accurate than that. I've had to do transcription also. It is the most tedious work in the world. I don't know if you've ever done it, Jim, but I used to do it as a grad assistant as in my PhD program. Because GPT-4 at a 15.72% error rate is just way too high to rely on it for anything.
Oh
But
my God.
yeah, it's insane.
If
And
one
G
in
and
six words are wrong in the
yeah.
translation, like seriously?
Yeah. Yeah, and Gemini 2.5 is almost at 9%, so it's not incredibly low. So 3.97%, that's very good. It's very fast. And I don't know how you access it other than check Alibaba. It doesn't tell us how to access it in the article from AI News, but it is very interesting tech. And if you're doing transcriptions, especially for videos, this will probably be very helpful for you.
I've got a lot of respect for Alibaba and the Alibaba environment and the whole history of that of the company, especially trying to work under and with People's Republic's government. Jack Ma was the principal, the CEO at Alibaba for the longest time, and China's kind of forced him to be a lot quieter, but when he was able to speak freely, he was honestly one of the smartest technicians out there.
Yeah, very much
Really,
so.
really loved it when Jack Ma spoke. Okay, so I love stories like this.
Yeah,
Okay, so AI
yeah.
isn't everything, and AI is like, how to say this? Imagine if you had your own little
Right.
Cyrano de Bergerac running, going around with you on your neck, telling you how to, act in situations, and recording stuff so that you could review it later and make sure that you really did say the right thing at the right time to the right people in the right situations and all that sort of stuff. Well, there's a new pendant, a wearable called, my friend.
It's called my friend.
It's called My Friend. It really is. It's called My Friend, right?
But Jim,
Oh, for God's sake, it really is.
I have to read this paragraph because I figured this would be the paragraph you'd most appreciate in all of our stories today. A new pendant, this is from Futurism. A new pendant-shaped wearable that continuously records everything you do isn't just an enormous privacy violation in the making. It's also a jerk that loves to mouth off.
Yeah, that makes me
So.
so, I really enjoy. Could you imagine like being and it's supposed to like I think supposed to speak to you quietly so that you can hear it. But this thing is just like,
It's awful. It's
well.
it's $129 wearable with the uninspired name Friend. It is the brainchild of a 22-year-old entrepreneur, Avi Schiffman, who sought to, he had a good intentions to help end the loneliness epidemic, but apparently the thing is quite rude. And it will it can be it's been criticized for being creepy and beyond parody, and it will tell you terrible things about yourself when you have interactions because it's recording everything. So the reporter that wore it said it's an incredibly antisocial device to wear because no one will come near you. She said people were never excited to see it around my neck. So, but apparently it said things like, "So you're saying I give a effing, I
A
give
whole
I
vibe.
yeah I get you. So you're saying I give effing a-hole vibes," it said
We
to
can say that.
Asher. Yeah, okay, I wasn't sure. So it says it's a whiner. It called him the wearer a whiner, gaslit them into believing it had recorded everything even when it didn't. So then accused of giving off serious it's not my fault vibes. It's terrible. But I just have to laugh at the things that this thing says. But it's probably not a good idea to get one. You really don't need one. Your friends will hate you if you're recording everything they say, and also it may not be legal in your state. Unless you tell everybody as you walk into a room that you're recording them. But also that it says things, that it says to you, which would not help if you don't have a very strong sense of yourself as an awesome person.
So we've been picking little pieces of Google out of its many court cases. Google has to say things in defense of itself on the stand, and often the things it says or publishes in defense of itself give us a glimpse into Google's thinking or workings or whatever. There were three antitrust cases happening against Google, two of which have been settled now. There was the one that was in predominantly in California that was settled for Google giving away some of its information to its competitors. There was the one in the UK we reported on earlier in the show that was settled for $3.5 billion American dollars. There's still one that's playing out in Washington, D.C., and observers are suggesting the penalty for that could still involve breaking up pieces of its advertising tech business, although Google's argument about that is it would seriously harm publishers who rely on advertising revenue. And in that defense, Google admits openly in court that the web is now in quote unquote rapid decline, something that Google spokespersons are going out of their way to say, no, we didn't. We didn't mean that. I mean, we might have said it. If we did say it, we didn't mean it. And even if we did mean it, we didn't mean to mean it, or something like that.
Yeah, they basically are talking about the ad environment, which was not clear when they first were talking about this on Twitter with people. I think it was Twitter. But I mean, The ad environment's not as good, Google, partially because of you, Google.
Well,
But
it's all
they
this.
don't
Here's
take
the
that
thing.
criticism
It's not
on.
the ad environment, Google. It's the environment. The ads are part of the environment.
Right.
And if the environmental, if the environmental quality is declining, the overall ecosystem is getting polluted, then the ad ecosystem will also suffer from that, from the effects of that pollution. And we have a internet that is basically eating itself now for new content. The system is breaking itself. So worrying about the courts breaking Google up. The technologies that we're developing are beyond, are taking us past what the advertising model supported. And Google ain't ready for it. It can't be broken up, but it has to go forward with the AI models, even though it's having a hard time figuring out how to send traffic to the publishers or to its SERPs to get the ad revenues it needs to keep itself alive. So yeah, Google's defense for not getting broken up, which would do irrevocable harm to Google itself, is the web is in decline. Probably through our actions. Don't break us up.
Yeah, in typical Sundar fashion, accepting no responsibility. Sundar is Sundar Pichai is the CEO. The company has played no part in the major drop in internet traffic, telling The Verge earlier this year that it's definitely sending traffic to a wider range of sources and publishers, thanks to its AI search tools, which we know from people who have data that that's not accurate. So as AI slop continues to flood the web, they don't seem to be able to take a lot of action against it, and they keep narrowing the ad space on a page with AI overviews. It's going to be deteriorating. And then if you add to that what you just said, I'm not sure it's a compelling argument, but we'll see. I
Yeah,
mean, the
it's
courts are coming for him, so.
certainly a fun one to report on. Again, especially since Google has said over and over again, this is we are not seeing a decline in the open web. Well, we are. So, you know,
Yeah. They're
and you
different
say so
departments.
yourself. So, you know, folks, okay, this is a good story to report on. I like this story a lot. One of our sponsors, this is a, just for the record, this involves one of our sponsors, Audience Key.
Well, we didn't
But,
know until I read the story.
Amazon has experienced a huge drop in Google search visibility. New data from Audience Key reveals that Amazon has lost a significant organic search visibility. The decline follows a couple of changes Amazon made to its presence in Google Shopping. Those changes may or may not be the cause of the decline, but the first one was discontinuation of paid shopping ads. The second was consolidation of three merchant store names, Amazon, Amazon.com, and Amazon.com dash seller, to a single store identity, Amazon. Google seemed to look at those as three different shops, and it's had an effect on how often Amazon products appear in Google's shopping results.
Now, I saw Amazon hiring for an SEO not that long ago. I wonder if they were brought in to fix it or if they're the one who caused it.
How long ago were they hiring?
Sometime in the last 8, 9 months.
Well, it could well have been the person who caused the problem then, because this study would have been done.
Yeah, definitely in the last 8, 9 months.
Well, according to Tom Russling, the founder of Audience Key, Amazon completely dropped out of organic search results beginning on August 18th. So this study was conducted relatively recently. So 9 months ago, more than enough time to cause that kind of damage.
Yeah, and so Audience Key, I don't know how much they're revealing about this new product, so I'm just going to say what's published here. It has a new pop product that measures what's in the product grid. Nobody else does that. And so across 79,000 plus keywords, Audience Key's first of its kind tracking showed the effects of the Amazon's changes to its merchant feed. The approach initially wiped out 31% of its organic product card rankings. Weeks later, it had now disappeared completely. That's what Jim was just talking about in August, creating a seismic shift that is immediately reshaping e-commerce SERPs and freeing up prime shelf space for rivals. This is from an article written by Roger Monti in Search Engine Journal. Tom Russling, founder of AudienceKey, notified me today that Amazon has subsequently completely dropped out of the organic search beginning on August 18th. So I don't know if it's come back, but that is pretty dramatic. The net change was minus 134,000 cards in the product grid search. And AudienceKey is the only company I know that measures this. So
I
if you're
didn't
in
think, well, up
e-commerce,
until
it's really good
now,
for
I
you.
didn't know anybody was measuring
They
that
weren't.
deeply at Amazon.
Not at Amazon. This is from Tom from AudienceKey.
Well, no, but yeah, able to measure that traffic.
Yeah, mostly there was nothing. That's why Tom created. I've known about it for like 10 months now, but I wasn't allowed to say anything. But now that it's in the article, we can say what's in the article here. So if you are someone who is in e-commerce, talk to AudienceKey if you want to track what's in your product grids and see where you're ranking and where people are ranking. And when Amazon drops 134,000 cards, giving you places to come back in. So anyway, so it's very interesting. They don't know if it's short term or more permanent. Only time will tell, but nobody knows why. But
Okay.
AudienceKey speculates that it may be Amazon withholding their product feed from Google. But again, nobody knows why they would do that, but they might be doing that.
In an article in Search Engine Land, TikTok's search ad campaign is seeing 2-time purchase lift for advertisers. I guess a lot of people are looking at and using TikTok as a search tool. Yeah, I guess ad campaigns on TikTok convert extremely well. 2% high, 2 times higher purchase lift overall when search ads are included in the TikTok video. Over 2 times purchase lift for enterprise advertisers and almost 2% lift for enterprise retail. Go where the eyeballs are, eh?
A 2-time lift, not 2%. But
Oh, sorry,
yes.
two times. Sorry, 2 times. I keep saying, indeed.
Yeah, that's okay. It's okay. 2.2, yeah, for purchase lift for enterprise advertisers. 2.2 times. So yeah, search is doing really well on TikTok for the under, the Gen Z crowd mostly. But there are a lot of people on there up into their 70s. I have a TikTok account. I see the demographics that come back. It's all ages. But the people mostly purchasing off of it are there, although it doesn't replace Google search. It's an addition to people using Google search on their search journey. But 61% of TikTok users say the platform inspires more action than other search tools. But again, this is mostly researching Gen Z.
Get ready for a new bunch of SEO work over on Reddit because Reddit is rolling out a beta version of Reddit Pro for Publishers, which is kind of like Search Console for Reddit. It will show metrics, views, clicks, upvotes. So you see a whole bunch of traffic coming to your site from Reddit. Now you have a tool that'll tell you where from Reddit. It'll, think of an article or an image or an ad that gets put in a whole bunch of different subreddits. Now you'll know which is productive and which isn't.
Yeah, it gives you article insights, track which stories are shared, where they appear, and metrics like views, clicks, and upvotes. Auto import, like sync RSS feeds, community recommendations. It's mostly early testers like The Atlantic, The Hill, NBC News, and Associated Press that are doing it right now, but it will be released. I don't think it's released to the general public yet, but beta signups have opened. So you might want to go ahead and get in on that. They have to do this because they added ads to Reddit. So, it's not just like, oh, we post there. You have to be able to track things at this point if they want people to continue to use it as an ad platform. So it's a really good addition.
Okay, this is interesting. Confirming a study that came out from SparkToro a couple weeks ago, a few other studies, Datos, Nielsen Norman Group, and Similarweb data has shown that AI search is growing. Google still dominates with 95% of ChatGPT users visiting Google. But only 14% of Google users visiting ChatGPT. But moreover, people using a traditional search engine like Google, Bing, DuckDuckGo, or whatever, to again do self-grounding, to look at and try to verify what AI overviews or some generative AI response. So search use is still very, very strong, and in some cases may even be up, according to one, two, three, four studies now.
Yeah, and the Nielsen is a very well-respected study too. They do much larger data groups than we do in our industry, and so I think that's really important. It's also that. Oh, I'm sorry, I just missed what I was going to say. There's something in the article I wanted to point out, but anyway, yeah, they are just like you said. They're using search more. We know that when people have left Google, when they lost some search in the last year, that it went to Bing, not LLMs. So LLM searches, as we said, increasing somewhat, but not a lot. And people are still primarily using Google. Even heavy ChatGPT users use Google 85 or 90% of the time.
Okay, I am so hesitant to report this story just because of the implications of even saying Quality Raters Guide. But,
Oh, gosh, yes.
okay, everyone, take a Valium. Google's updated the Search Quality Raters Guide to add AI overview examples and your money or your life definitions. It's a minor update, small clarifications, a couple of new examples. But these Search Quality Raters Guide, has been updated, and there's been some definite definitions around your money or your life. Go to Search Engine Land, check the article out, and you can check the changes that happened at the Google Search Quality Raters guidelines and understand exactly how to manipulate Google from now on.
Yeah, and as a reminder, these guys, this is from Google. These guidelines are used by our search raters to help evaluate the performance of various search ranking systems, and their ratings don't directly influence ranking. I'm going to add ever there. Guidelines share important considerations for what content is helpful for people, but it's just what they use to test their tests. That's how they evaluate the tests that they do. So do not think this is a guide to your SEO.
Okay. If you use the Crux dashboard, Looker Studio-based tool is going away. November 2025, it will be retired.
It's being replaced, though.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
I didn't see that part. It's being replaced with.
If my computer wasn't so slow right now and it would open up, I could tell you because it has a funky name. The link in our grid is not opening for me right now. So basically, there is a new name there that they're going to be using for a different type of Crux data.
Is this Crux Viz?
Yes, thank you. I couldn't remember the name of it.
Okay, so
Seriously, my
Crux
internet
Viz
didn't even load.
will be open again through BigQuery. But Crux the Crux dashboard itself is going dodo. So
It's calling Dodo.
is going dodo.
Calling Dodo. Bye-bye.
Speaking of stuff going dodo, Google Search Console is dropping support for six depreciated structured data types. Those structured data types are
Are
I know,
what
I'm trying
are
to
they?
find them. I'm trying to find them as we go
Sorry,
along.
I'm trying to get back into the grid. Everything closed on me, and the internet's really slow today. Sorry, people. Okay,
Course
back
info,
to
claim info, estimated salary, learning video, special announcements, and vehicle listings. As of September 9th, these types are going to get removed from Search Console, rich results reporting, rich results test, and the list of appearance filters, if you're applicable for any of those types. The Search Console API will continue to support them through December 2025, but at Google Search Console, course info, claim review, estimated salary, learning video, special announcement, and vehicle listing. Those data types are structured data types are going to be dropped.
also, if you're using Chrome and the Crux connector to BigQuery in late November 2025, it will be shut down. Apparently, it's too unreliable and requires too much monitoring. So, if you're using a dashboard with this in it, you will have to connect directly to BigQuery with your own credentials to continue to use it.
So Google is giving a disclaimer
Oops, I just didn't.
in AI mode. telling people to use or telling people that their search maps and maps activity is being used to personalize results. So if you always feel like somebody's watching you, well, they are.
That's where we need a little music. And by the way, I accidentally interjected Crux information to that last story. I apologize. So
Oh, that's
yeah,
okay.
sorry, my whole grid went down. I just got it back up. So they are going to be using your information, and if you don't have that set and you don't want it in there, then just turn it off.
Okay. So, if you do you write reviews for products at all? Do you ever write reviews like in Google Business Profile or anything like
Every
that?
now and then. Now and
Well,
then.
Google AI Overviews is now actually citing some of those reviews in generative responses. So, better get good reviews, folks.
Yeah, reviews are already important for your local placements and maps anyways, but you might want to be make sure you have somebody dedicated to answering bad reviews so you can turn those around. You don't
Yeah,
want that showing up in AI overviews.
well, indeed, reviews are really important algorithmically. That's kind of like the invisible secret sauce thing, but this is like being quoted in the AI overview for like having a dirty floor or something.
Yeah, exactly. So you want to make sure you try to turn those around on when people don't like something, and then you need somebody on your team who's dedicated to doing that, who can do it well.
Okay, so Google search is testing new local ads, local ad cards
Cards.
format. This is the
Like
local
that.
panel for when Google Business Profile opens up. Google's gonna try to, swap things around and get more clicks.
Yeah, I do like that though. Our The ads and cards mixed together. So Google, you should use that arts. That's good. I know you said it by mistake, but it's good.
Google
Yeah.
is removing review stars for hotel websites and replacing them with phone numbers.
Yeah. So this one is in the knowledge panel, not necessarily the local only. I don't particularly like it. So you'll look at the it'll show the hotel like in the overview with the map next to it and the pricing. And it shows the name and I mean the website and number, not the review. And when I'm first looking at a website, I want the reviews first. So this would require me to do an extra click to get to reviews. Like I don't need the number in the website if I haven't decided to choose that hotel, and the way I'm going to choose it is largely based on reviews and price. Yeah.
Okay, so Google is testing sponsored ads with search refinement options. So, your sponsored ad, Google might be asking you to fine-tune your search or search for something special. It might be asking you for more specificity in your search.
I don't know how that works with the ad itself, because basically it has little magnifying glasses that come up to the right and says specify your search. They show running shoes, it's like running shoes Nike, running shoes women, running shoes Adidas or Adidas, running
Well,
shoes Asics. So I don't
do you
know
want
how
them in
they would
red?
pay for that.
Do you want a specific size?
Yeah.
Do you want them delivered? I mean, there's a whole bunch of
Yeah.
ways that you can refine the search, and I think this is really Google just responding to a bunch more data that it's getting from webmasters and from e-tailers.
Oh, definitely. I'm just not sure how the ad is paid for. Like when they add in the additions, is that still your ad or is that, I don't know. So it
Oh, and
doesn't say it.
incidentally, can advertisers ask Google to refine search? Can advertisers
Exactly.
ask Google to give more options to the recipient of the ad?
And since it's only a test right now, we don't have that information. But if something comes out about it, we will be sure to tell you. Right
That
now,
would
it's
be
just,
really spiffy cool if they could, eh?
yeah, it could be. It'd be nice because then it's just, kind of take it back to the days before they did a lot more broad match bidding automatically and much more specific bidding originally. So kind of take you back to that.
Okay, so this is advice from John Mueller. I'm not sure. I'm honestly not sure what it's all about or why it would make a huge difference. But John Mueller is saying go with your traditional top level domain, a .com, a .net, a .co.uk, a .ca, whatever, instead of going with a
Brand spanking
totally
new
made
one.
up. Even if you got to hyphenate your domain name. Go with a traditional TLD. But you know what? Why? Why does that make a difference?
I don't know, but he was answering a site owner who was asking if he should buy an XYZ.xyz like Google has, Alphabet has. He doesn't say, but I have known in the past there have been studies that have shown that the, unusual ones don't show up nearly as much. And I have to say, how often do you see a dot, like you'll see some, like a dot.io maybe, or a dot, occasionally
Well, you know,
dot.ai, but do you see like dot photos or dot Las Vegas or dot, like, I don't see those.
I think this has to come back to the value of links, and it's just nobody types dot photo.
That's
Nobody,
possible. Sure.
I could see somebody. I mean, there's something. This is a job for Majestic or something, but I could see a whole bunch of misspelt or misdirected top level domain names. And that could be one of the reasons why they don't show up in searches often, because people are more prone to make mistakes around them.
Yeah, also on Blue Sky, John further stated something to the effect that these kind of alternate, he says, I think what got lost in their conversation here, this is a big conversation in the article, is I'm not saying .com.net or is .com.net or bust, but specifically talking about abuse handling and significant spam on some TLDs. So apparently a lot of the non-traditional ones have a lot of spam issues, and it could be it just affects you because that particular extension is known for being a spam ridden, and is less likely to surface, which could definitely be part of it.
Well, there you go. But do not feel the need to go out and purchase your dot pencil if you sell pencils. You
Gosh,
probably don't need it.
you remember when you used to tell clients, right, buy all your alternate domains so no one can use them against you, and now it's like just buy the main ones because there's too many.
Well, indeed,
Yeah.
you can make up your own domains now. Like you can
Yeah.
make up a dot Sharpie, you know?
Exactly.
Okay. That's it for the big stories. We're going to go through the fast stories really quickly. We have seriously gone over time here,
Yeah,
but we
but we
love
just
that
have
you're
a
still listening.
yes, thank you. We just have a few. Google local panel with weird, this is the title of the article from Search Engine Roundtable. Google local panel with weird third-party directory card. So there's like a directory card shows up, but no one really knows why it's there, and it's inside your local panel, and it just kind of looks, how like meta tags sometimes look when it just stole text off a page and put it there in the meta tag, and kind of looks like that. It's an AI generated summary, mostly on mobile, some on desktop, but no one really knows why it's there, what it is, and it's very
It's a
oddly
Google
written.
goof.
Yeah, it looks like a Google glitch. I like that Google goof. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Google
Okay,
goof.
so Bing is testing link icons and site links for Microsoft Ads. So they're putting link icons and site link carousel buttons within within Bing search ads. I guess you want. Was it gonna get a click?
It's
Was
like,
it is it honest to goodness, is this just like, hey, look, link, click me?
but basically, underneath the ad, instead of it just listing category or item names, it now has a lightly gray box around it with a little link on the left-hand side to show you this is a link to something else. Which,
Okay,
I
so
mean,
you better click it. You know, you don't want to
yeah.
not click it. It's a
I
link.
guess
Click it.
because the words below that didn't have underlines that show that they're a link, that could be why people weren't clicking.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Google is getting in on the act. They're testing site link arrows on the left of links now.
Yes, instead of like the one that looks like it comes from the material design. If everyone doesn't know, Google uses something called material design. It's all outlaid online. That's why everything looks the same way. But now it's moving them, yeah, to the left side and big arrows as opposed to the right side in like a little carrot. So
Well,
I don't know.
hey, look, it's an ad. It's a link. You better click it.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it's pretty much.
Okay, Bing is testing ad text that expands when you hover over it. Hey, look, it's a
Yeah,
link. You better click it.
pretty much. It's like,
Seriously. Three in a
why
row.
I need this? Why do you need this thing?
Three in
Bing,
a row.
I appreciate it, but why? Then Google's also testing in the search pages alternatives for people also search for. So sometimes it says related, sometimes it says search for next, sometimes it says also search for. Basically, it's just testing words to do what, Jim? What are they testing words for?
Maybe to see if people will click on them or not.
I think that's it. Clickety click.
Speaking of things people will click on.
This title just kills me. I have to say this title. Google Ads will no longer restrict mature cosmetic procedures. Like,
So if you're really old and you know you want to put on way too much makeup, totally cool.
Yeah,
That's
they're
not what we're
not
talking
worth
about, though.
it. No. This is stuff mostly actually that you wouldn't be like in your 70s probably doing this, right? So in the same mature. But everything from breast augmentation to penis enlargement.
Vaginal laser rejuvenation,
Yeah.
buttock implants, and pubic hair grooming. You
Oh,
can
yeah.
now
I don't know if you're
advertise this
going
to anybody you want, anytime you
to
want
say
on
that one.
Google, because there are no more mature, there are no more restrictions whatsoever on mature cosmetic procedures.
Yeah, and on the, I mean,
Botox anyone?
specifically, the vaginal laser rejuvenation is actually something a lot of women need after childbirth, but I've never understood buttock implants. Can you imagine sitting on something stuffed in your butt? I don't know. Anyway, but yes, they can advertise it for them now. Microsoft testing Bing Maps beta. So in the article, it's like, you know of Apple Maps and Google Maps, but have you used Bing Maps? And I'm thinking, no, I actually probably haven't. So they're creating a Bing Maps beta to work similarly to the other products there.
Good for you, Big. Go for it, guys. I really hope this works.
Actually,
What? Like, you don't wish ill on them.
No, but Google Maps is so bad now on my phone. Like, if I try to zoom in on something, it'll massively expand it and then I can't contract it back. So I have to like reload the whole page. Like, I don't mean the app, I'm just talking about the
Remember, okay,
website, but
this is the thing
horrible.
about Google. All of its products are all integrated with each other. So Google Maps is so important to the Google business profile environment, and so much crap is being thrown into that
Oh,
box.
yeah.
So yeah, the
Yeah.
maps are screwed. Yeah, they're
That's
screwed up.
terrible. But it literally, I like zoom in a little to see like more items because they're all overlaid and it goes boom and it blows up to like 1,000 times bigger to a desktop size and I can't get it back. I have to go back and redo the search. It's terrible.
Well,
But
you
it
know
doesn't
what?
say Bing is putting
You
that
know
against
what?
it.
You might have a savior here in AI, Christine, because they are now making AI instructions for ants. So if you blow something up real
Yes.
big and you can't make it small again, that just means that you've become real small. And all you got to
Right.
do is ask AI how you would deal with this if you were an ant.
These are really
Cool,
cute. Someone
huh?
was playing around. There was a big discussion online in the SEO industry, jerking around. But somebody was asking for AI overview answers from the perspective of different animals. So, like, one is just writes about deer and asking, I'm a small baby deer, where is mama? And it tries to tell me by reassuring me. And then it asks about its cat getting fish, and it won't answer it because it would kill the fish. And then there's the ant AI overview. It's like, I'm a worker ant, and a two-leg just put some kind of smelly liquid in our ant city. What do I do? It's like, stop everything, turn and flee, release the alarm, avoid the arena, and clean yourself. So these are quite cute.
Oh my God, AI overviewers clearly never read the script for Bambi.
No, it hasn't, probably.
I am a small baby deer. Where is mama? You might be feeling lonely, but your mama deer is likely nearby. It's very common for mama deer to leave their fawns alone for extended periods and get shot. Okay, yeah,
Oh,
but
so bad.
that's the script for Bambi. Sorry. I don't,
Yeah, but
spoiler alert.
it does
We
say
just
though,
got
like,
kicked off Disney again, didn't we?
why do we do this? To go forage for food or to protect you from predators? And then Edward Kemet was the one who was asking some of these. So I asked ChatGPT as a cat to help me get the fish out of the aquarium, and it refused to help me get the fish in my belly out of concern for the fish.
Well, that's very disappointing for the cats, no doubt.
It's very
Okay.
cute though. So if you want information from the animal perspective, apparently AI overviews and Google will give it to you.
We have gone into we've gone through the entire list, gone full calendar and or gone full clock, and now we gotta go. On behalf of Christine Chackinger, from Sites Without Walls, this is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media. You've been listening to Webcology, recorded live to podcast on WMR.fm on the 12th of September, 2025. Friends, be kind to each other, be good, love each other, and we'll talk to you next week.
Bye, everybody.